Breakfast with Martin Bester.
It's welcome back to energy expert Ted Blom on the show this morning. Ted, I love what you've done with your hair. Was I the inspiration?
Absolutely.
Thank you. It looks good on you. Nice black top. Just quickly, the last time you were here it was in December. And maybe by means of answering the following question, there'll be time for a quick recap. What the heck happened to the blackouts from a couple of days ago? They came and then they've gone again.
Okay, so the most recent blackouts were caused by non-availability of plant. What has happened as a consequence to ameliorate that is Eskom's been given the go-ahead to burn the OCGT diesel turbines.
Okay.
So those are running flat out at the moment at an enormous cost.
Is that like a backup system?
Oh, yes. What the Eskom has done is they've increased the fleet of OCGTs. They had about 12 initially, and they've subsequently added another 15 as far as I remember.
So when the coal runs out, the diesel ones kick in?
Absolutely.
The diesel ones are more expensive to run.
Far more expensive, and also they can't replace coal. They can supplement coal. They're not big, not enough of them to replace coal.
Okay, so we're on the diesel engines right now. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to catch up where we left off in December about the Eskom saga, you've been so right in calling so many of these things. If you've been listening to the show, none of this would be a surprise to you. So go and listen to those podcasts. But what we're picking up is with the allegations against Jeff Radebe and how he links into the Motsepe family, and obviously then links back to President Cyril Ramaphosa. So people are calling nepotism.
Okay, so Mr. Motsepe has got two sisters. One is married to Minister Radebe.
Okay.
And the other one married to Mr. Ramaphosa.
Cyril Ramaphosa.
Yes.
Okay, so why the nepotistic... the fact that Cyril Ramaphosa appointed Jeff Radebe, is that obviously the first...
Well, that's the first step, yes. Okay, and behind the scenes, Mr. Ramaphosa had an empire of companies prior to him accepting the deputy presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Motsepe has got an empire of companies.
Yes.
And the correlation between the two is that both of them are invested in renewable energy.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff Radebe is married to the one Motsepe's sister.
Yes.
Who's also obviously then involved with...
And he's the
companies.
One who gives permits for renewable energy.
How do you get yourself out of those rumors? How's Jeff Radebe answering questions about nepotism?
Okay,
and the president for that.
Okay, so their line of argument is that Mr. Motsepe acquired his renewable licenses secondhand. So he was not part of the bidding process.
Okay.
So he was therefore not favored in the bidding process by getting more licenses than... Then what would have been allocated?
Is it a problem for South Africa, the scenario?
I think the bigger problem is the fact that somewhere in the Department of Energy, they seem to think that you can replace 1 gigawatt of coal, or nuclear for that matter, with 1 gigawatt of renewable. It doesn't work like that because renewable is only available intermittently.
Okay.
So if you want to replace 1 gigawatt of coal energy... then you need about 10 to 20 gigawatts of renewable positioned in different parts of the country so that at least there's a good chance of one of those plants working and replacing the coal.
But haven't they appointed a committee to solve all these problems and to make better decisions? How are we still making bad decisions?
Okay, so...
Isn't there like a new CRO? What does that stand for, by the way?
Chief Reorganization Officer.
Well, there you go. A chief reorganization officer. I've never in my life heard of such a position.
It doesn't exist in the Companies
really?
Act.
So that's a new term?
Yes.
CRO.
Absolutely.
So President Ramaphosa appointed a CRO, a chief reorganization officer. He didn't appoint
it. No, Mr. Mbeweni is going to appoint...
He's going to.
For each of the state-owned enterprises, yes.
Oh, for each of the state-owned enterprises. And that's going to solve our problems, right?
Well, not entirely, because you've got the company, you've got the board of the company. Then at Eskom, you've got the 8 wise men, of which 2 resigned, and they were going to tell the company where to go. Then after that, they've appointed the Italian engineers.
Yes.
And they were going to decide where to go.
So hold on, let me just keep track here. There's a board. Of which the chairman is Jabu Mabuza.
Yes.
then there are people above the committee overseeing things above that.
The eight wise men.
The eight wise men.
Under then, Prof. Ebert.
Yeah. And then where did the Italians come in?
Well, they've subsequently been appointed by the Minister Pravin Gordhan to do an audit on Eskom plant.
All right.
Now, there's a problem with those guys because the configurations we run in South Africa are very different from the configurations run in Italy.
Yes.
They run small plants, we run mega plants.
Mm-hmm.
So the mathematics and the metallurgy is very, very different on our plants compared to what they would be used to.
How did they get to the Italians? Are there no South Africans that can do that?
No, there's a very strong fleet of South Africans. They might not all be here. They might have moved on because they were kicked out of Eskom.
So how did they get to the Italians?
I suspect because the Italians have got a branch here. Enel Green Energy has got a branch here, of which, unfortunately, Mr. Motsepe is the local partner.
What has been done in the last while, Ted, to try and rescue Eskom? Cyril Ramaphosa came in and he made some new appointments. One of those was Jabu Mabuza. Am I right?
Absolutely. He was the chairman.
So he's the chairman. Okay, now Jabu is not connected to the family. Because there seems to be, I mean, I'm talking here about the allegations of nepotism.
No.
He's not connected to any of the families, the Motsepe family or anything like that.
No.
But now, what is the story about his wife now or something?
Okay, so when Mr. Mabuza got appointed, it seems that nobody did a due diligence. In other words, nobody checked his CV to see if he's conflicted or not conflicted.
How does that happen?
And that would have been the first step had the Department of Public Enterprises appointed him. There's a whole procedure that they have to go through before they can nominate somebody to be appointed. Yeah. However, Mr. Mabuza was appointed on a Friday by Mr. Ramaphosa, seemingly as an urgent measure or whatever. So there was no forethought into his appointment. When he came to the office, he realized he had a conflict of interest in that him and his family supply coal, and it's expensive coal to Eskom.
How does that slip your mind? Sorry. How does that slip your mind? How do you only realize that after the appointment?
So that was the one thing. And the other thing is even worse, is that he has control over two of the major maintenance companies that do maintenance for Eskom. So he's got major conflicts. And if you look at what the problems at Eskom are, the problems are coal supply and the problems are maintenance issues. So he's directly conflicted with his new job at Eskom.
All right. So all these rescue remedies that have been put in place, Ted, are they working? Are they effective?
Absolutely not, because the one set's replaced with the next one, the next one, the next one. So you've got a whole cascade of levels of people that are now sort of tasked to fix up Eskom. And unfortunately, nobody's holding the can or the responsibility for it.
There are just too many allegations, and there are just too many rumors and mistrust. Am I right?
Absolutely. There's no confidence in the organization.
Stories. There's not enough confidence. It is not effective. So, two more questions that I've got for you this morning, which we'll get to in a moment, is what's the forecast? What's going to happen next? Because you've been pretty spot on with your forecasts. And lastly, seriously, what can be done better, actually, to get Eskom on a better track? Because the trajectory is not really in favor of Eskom, still not. It's still on a downward curve.
Absolutely. So I'm forecasting that Eskom's going to hit the wall towards the end of next month, March. It's the end of the financial year. They'll be running out of money. I know that the minister allocated them an extra $23 billion.
Yeah.
But that's just kicking the can down the road. It's not enough for Eskom. They're going to make a 20 billion rand plus loss at the end of March, as they also forecasted a loss in the two ensuing years after that. So that's 60 billion rands worth of losses. And I think a big surprise for Eskom, I'm forecasting that they're not going to get the price increase that they applied for. And the basis of that is I declared their application technically deficient at the first hearings in Cape Town. They were given until the 1st of February to remedy that, and they didn't remedy it. So technically their application is defective. They're not going to get the money.
We always keep it real. On Breakfast with Martin Bester. Every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Jacaranda FM.